May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. When Jesus healed the paralyzed man in the second chapter of Mark, he made a connection between sin and paralysis that is very striking, is very unsettling, and is absolutely necessary for everyone here to grasp completely. He was brought a paralyzed man, and he said to the man, not be ye healed, but he said to the man, your sins are forgiven. Now, that raises a lot of hackles because it implies that paralysis, which is something he couldn't help, presumably, it was an accident, or he'd been, as a child, come into the world with some terrible deficiency, and he immediately compares sin with the man's sickness, which gets everybody's backs up, because we say he couldn't help it. Sin is only something you do that that you can help. If you can't help it, how can you be blamed for it? That's a very common way. But Jesus says to the man who's paralyzed, your sins are forgiven. The same thing happened with the healing of the blind man in St. John 3, where the culture thought that his blindness had to do with some kind of sin. And the fact of the matter, it does. And this is where we come into the deepest waters of human interchange with God. And what he says is, not be ye healed, your sins are forgiven. Now immediately some of the scribes start ragging on him, and they say, wait a minute, they take a different note. Rather than saying he's just said a remarkable thing, they say, nobody can say your sins are forgiven. Only God can do that. Only God has the authority to forgive sins in any objective and real way. And then Jesus goes back to the point he'd earlier made. He says in verse 9, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your pallet and walk? Well, what's the answer to that? Repeat the question. You answer it. Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your pallet and walk? Well, the actual answer is neither of them. It's an empty set. You can't tell a paralyzed man to rise up and walk. It's impossible. He's talking about an impossibility. In the same way you can't pronounce someone's sins forgiven on your own authority. They're impossible. He's trying to get them to understand that they're equal degree of difficulty. Healing the man from a disease which they could not imagine a healing, or forgiveness of sins, they're of equal difficulty. And then he turns right around, and instead of repeating what he said before, which is, your sins are forgiven, he says, take up your pallet and walk. Now, that may confuse you, but what he's saying is that saying to the guy, you're healed, and saying to him, your sins are forgiven, are equally bodacious. They are equally humongously powerful, impossible statements to make to anybody at any time. The fact that he is divine obviously relates to this. But the first point of two, I've just got 2 points today, is that only in the way that only God could heal a paralyzed man, i.e. nobody who's us can, in the same way only God can forgive sins. Now the reason we know this is true, we know it's impossible to heal a man in this way who's been paralyzed. I mean, you've been to the Rusk Institute in New York. Ever spent time in the Rusk Institute? It was in the paper the other day in Birmingham. Has more unnecessary operations, according to insurance views, than any other hospital, with one exception. Interesting. But it is a powerful place where they attempt to help people who are paralyzed, and they don't have much success. It is impossible. Similarly, to forgive sins, it's impossible. You know, you say that you've forgiven somebody for what they did to you, whatever number of years ago. But the fact of the matter is that you haven't. Why is it that you keep returning to that subject? Did you notice this? Maybe you're married to somebody who can't shake a particular grievance. And they think they want to forgive the person. They hope they've forgiven the person. They'd be thrilled to forgive the person, but it keeps coming back up in the conversation. Do you have a husband or a wife for whom, if the conversation is ever really long, it always returns to one particular person or subject? Or do you have a mother or a father for whom they're getting a little older, and it always seems that the subject returns to one particular grievance? Or you know somebody at work, and the subject somehow, you can be talking about brown cows, and in 30 minutes the subject always returns, strangely enough, to one particular grievance. Now, if you can identify with that, you can understand why she said it is no easier to forgive sins than it is to raise somebody from the dead. Because you chew on these things. Have you noticed how it's like you chew on it. You don't want to. You wish it wouldn't come up. You've blocked it out of your mind. You've forgiven it. Time has passed. Water under the bridge. Women must forgive men. Men should forgive women. If I can't forgive my child, who can I forgive? But you haven't. The fact is, one of your children or one of your parents, and I'm right here with you, it just keeps coming back to this particular little needling person. I've got mine, and I wonder if you have yours. I'm well aware that I cannot forgive a particular individual who looms very large in my unconscious and comes out inevitably if I'm weakened. So are you willing to agree with me that you can forgive a lot of things, but there's always something, the biggie, it's the biggie, it's the person who trashed you, it's the person who divorced you, it's the child who really, really, really went over the line. It's the colleague who whose gossip ended up in a conspiracy on the board, whatever it happens to be. And these things can only be forgiven by God. Now, I've given you a phrase before in Latin, and I'm going to give it again. It's very memorable. Write it down if you have a pencil, or remember it. It's easy to remember. Lex semper accusat. Lex means law. Semper means what? He's a Marine Corps person here. Always. Always. Semper fi. Lex, law. Semper, always. Accusat. Accuses. The law always accuses. There is a cosmic power called the law, and it's in me, and it's in you, and somebody out there is being accused right now by the law. And you know, it could be you. I mean, if you've been living with somebody for the last 20 years, if you've been trying to get to forgive you for something, it may be something that appears to the world very small, but in the person's mind is huge. Are you even on the receiving end of zero forgiveness? People, I offended a woman who was running a youth group once in Silver Spring, Maryland, because she thought I was a little bit judgmental in my sort of fervent Christianity, and she was right. I was a kid. I'd just been ordained. What do you expect? She had all the cards. She had all the cards. She was infinitely more mature, and I had offended her, and I finally said, "Will you please forgive me?" And she always used to say this, "There's nothing to forgive. It's water under the bridge. There's nothing to forgive." But her body language, she didn't like to shave her legs, and that was a statement. And she always would make sure that I noticed that she had not shaved her legs, because she knew that that spooked me. Well, the body language told me that she hasn't. And you know what? She's still there, and she still hasn't forgiven me. I'm sure she wants to. I'm sure she wants to, but she hasn't. Now, that's my first of 2 points. Forgiveness is God's alone right. I'd like to, but I can't. Now, the second and very profound point that he is making, he is comparing sin with a physical disability. Now, what he's doing there, he is probing to the roots of our lack of forgiveness. He is saying that sin is not something that this man did. Sin is equivalent to his paralysis. Now, we think that sin is things you do. The Bible understands sin as your actual state, your humanity. God says, I am of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. He is perfect. He cannot spend time or even gaze upon or dwell with an imperfect person. Now you may say, but that's not God. How could he be that way? We know he's that way because he says he demands 100% holiness. Until you perform all that is written of this book, he says in Deuteronomy, you are cursed as one who is hanging on a tree. You've got to do it all. And so he's not just judging me for what I do, but he's judging me for who I am. Now, if you don't believe this, I have to convince you. This is what you do, and this is what I do. We don't think of it as forgiveness, but there are people who you rule out because of some personal habit. Let's say, I mean, all it takes for me to completely rule somebody out is for somebody in the wedding party to be chewing gum. Now, I do weddings. We do weddings at least twice a week, all the time, something like that. And as soon as I see that bridesmaid or that usher coming down chewing gum, I just, you know, my eyes go in the back of my head and I'm out of here. I mean, love is flown. Love is gone, but baby, now you're here. Remember the Supremes? I'm out. Because, now that's a peeve. You may say, Paul, that's just Paul's pet peeve, but you've got one too. You reject somebody on the basis of a quirk. Bad parents, quote, whatever that, without a control, children. Have you ever had that you see children who are out of control in the grocery store, and you immediately make a strong judgment about the parents? Now, in fact, that's an ethical matter. You're not forgiven. You've rejected that person. Or I talked to somebody down in Florida who had a real resentment against snowbirds. You know what a snowbird is? A snowbird is someone who's from the North or Middle West who goes to spend the winter in Florida. And this person told me, I just hate people from Indiana. Well, now I understood that. He, in his mind, he had a bad experience with somebody from Indiana who he thought was grabby as opposed to gracious, and it symbolized a whole kind of person. But that needs to be forgiven. He needs to forgive the people from Indiana. You may say that's trivial. It is not trivial. You are ruling out people all the time on the basis of dress or parenting. Or what about an introvert versus an extrovert? And is anybody here an introvert who lives with an extrovert? Or does anybody here an extrovert who lives with an introvert? Well, with Mary and I, we've worked that out. But let me tell you, there was a clergyman who came to me some time ago, and he says, we were at a big party. A lot of people. I said, oh, I love this. I'm energized by people. Well, all I thought was, I dread this. I'm exhausted by people. Now, those were two different people in the same situation. Can you understand that? I hated him. Now, I'm in my flesh. Now, I'm speaking in my flesh. But do you understand from your own experience what that is? Someone comes in and expresses a personality type, and you just write them off. And I did. Or let's say some people who are tight, what the English call mean. How do you feel about people who are tight? But you choose your own pet peeve. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to find that you need to forgive those people and that they gall you. But let's get even closer to home. People who do not see when the truth is right in front of their eyes, I can't forgive them. People who do not hear when it's being told them absolutely clearly what is right and true about themselves, and they cannot hear. People who are in prison when they could walk tomorrow free of a particular compulsion or habit or memory. People who are paralyzed when anybody could see that they could walk if they would just get themselves together. Now, what I'm talking about is the fact that forgiveness of sins and healing the paralyzed man are exactly the same thing. And the sooner that you realize that it's you, as well as what you do, which comes out of who you are. I mean, the person who's chewing gum to beat the band in the line down in the wedding, that comes out of many other things. I mean, she doesn't want to smoke anymore. She's nervous. They're all good reasons why that is. It's a superficial symptom of something that deserves enormous compassion. Just as the alienating characteristic of the person you live with or the child is your least favorite, But alienating characteristic is something that is constitutive. They didn't do it, they are it. So you've got to think with me about the person who's a certain kind of person who rubs you the wrong way. And only God can forgive that person, because he's forgiving me and he forgave you. And if he can forgive, I mean, I had a child once years ago. He bit his nails all the time. Why don't you stop biting your nails? I'm going to put ink on your nails that tastes bad. Well, he figured out a way to get the ink off another way. And how can you talk somebody out of that? That's a whole thing. What did I have to do as a father? I had to forgive the pattern out of which this alienating characteristic came. And that took, for me, only an act of God. Well, I'm just putting my cards on the table. Forgiveness is reserved to God. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. I'm like the guy in Guys and Dolls. When I think of the times I've cried, when I think of the times I've tried, I could honestly die. I'm like the guy in Guys and Dolls. What about you? Only God. And yet God forgives not only what I do, but the whole schlemiel out of which that flows. And that tells us that God shows his love for us in that while we were the ungodly, to quote Romans 5:8, he died for us. While we were who we are, not just what we do, he died for us. And I would like to make that an encouraging word to you as you're on the receiving end of zero tolerance, or you are on the giving end of zero tolerance. As we're seated, let us pray. Dear God, help us to sort this out, to discover what we're holding against that particular person and that particular group of people, and where we are ourselves the objects of such contempt. Help us to come to you and to your heavenly throne of mercy with fresh confidence, fresh gratitude, fresh remembrance, and fresh joy, that we, through you, would know how far the reach of your forgiveness extends, and that for once, we would be able to forgive that particular alienating person today and tomorrow, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.